heart of the nautical mile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. Live from WGBB, 1240 on your dial. It's time for Listen Up. Jesus is on the air.
Oh, the spirit of sweet Jesus.
And here we are with another Saturday.
And another full program. We have people on this show today that travel all over the world. Bridge for Peace is here. That's Annette and Ed Eckert. And Father Larry Tucker is here. So Annette and Ed go over to Africa, Australia, South America. Father goes to Belize and Guatemala. And both ministries are mission ministries. And we're going to talk about, how did they become an instrument of peace, and how did they get others to become an instrument of peace? But if we want peace, we better be quiet, because Al's going to come after us.
Or be quiet. That was my Uncle John that was talking, and my name is Anthony. And we're here with love in our hearts for Jesus, and we want to spread that love. We want to spread it throughout Long Island, throughout New York State, throughout the United States, throughout the world. Jesus loves us. We want that word out there. We want one conversion, at least one conversion every week.
That's our goal. We don't care how much it costs. If we can touch one heart, one soul each week, that's all we want. As we're after Catholics, believe it or not, we want Catholics to realize that they have to have a personal, internal experience of God's presence in them. And that is the way the religion will make sense to them. And everything we say is built around the number one sacrament in the church, which is the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So Catholics, listen up. Jesus is after your heart, your soul, and your mind, just for today.
So let's start our journey during Lent, and let's be repentive. Let's spread our love for Jesus. By the way, you know that one conversion a week is not bad, but the apostles, when they preached, they got 3,000 conversions at one time. We just want one. One conversion. Come on, let's turn to Jesus' army.
And our timing is so perfect, because we're going to finish with all of our talking just when the instrumental part of the song begins.
Sorry, Al.
And poor Trevor's going crazy in the control room, up and down. When are those guys going to learn? You have to shut up when the music is playing. Trevor is our engineer, and he's a Baptist minister, and we reflect whenever we say many, many religions, we look at Trevor and say, he's our representative of the many, many religions.
This song was written by Paul Vow, who I'm sure is listening.
We wanted him to sing along when he was on the show. He said, I can't remember the words of the song.
He's a wonderful singer. That's his heart. Although when I was on the show, he did tell me to keep quiet.
I was singing. He told me don't quit my day job, so I don't know what he meant. You know, Tony, maybe this is a good time early on in the show to make some announcements. We have a lot of emails that we want to respond to. We ask you to send your emails to us via petitions, but also we have newsletters that we can send to you, and we have contacts with Bridge for Peace and Father. So why don't you give them the email address up front?
Email is listenup1240@aol.com. That's listenup 1240 at AOL.com. We get a lot of letters, we get a lot of emails, we get cards, but you know what? We love them. We respond to each and every communication. And I send my Uncle John a copy of every response. And a lot of parishes are asking, are reaching out to us and asking us for announcements. Tonight, the St. Patrick's Dance at St. Catherine of Siena, they asked that we would announce it. There are so many things going on.
Men's Ministry is going to do a day of prayer for men April 16th at Holy Family in Hicksville. But we don't want to get into too many announcements. We want you to email us, and we'll send you those announcements. Maybe the best way to start today, Trevor, is to play the second song, which is an instrument, cup two, which is an instrument of peace, the prayer of St. Francis. We ask listeners, put yourself in God's presence. Introduce yourselves and let us know, how did you experience the power of Jesus? How did Jesus lead you into this ministries that you have? Go ahead, Annette, we'll start with you.
Well, the name of our ministry, as you know, John, is Bridge for Peace. And I love how WGBB wants to serve the community, because everyone around this table here today wants to do the same thing. And we found, you know, our story, all of our stories, is that sinful humanity, one thing we have in common is sinfulness, be it jealousy, unrighteous anger, covetousness, lying, and there was no way for us to touch a holy and pure God. And Jesus Christ came, the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to build a bridge. And through the bridge of his cross, we can now touch a holy God through the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's our name. Bridge for Peace, that Jesus came as a servant of all to serve us, that through knowing him we could find a way into supernatural peace, not the kind of peace that comes today and goes, or, oh, I bought a new dress, don't I look good, I feel good today, and then tomorrow I feel bad about myself, but knowing that Jesus Christ loves me, and through him I have eternal life, and that brings a peace and a confidence and destroys the fear of death. And gives to us, restores to us our purpose in life and the heavenly destiny that we have. So Jesus became my bridge for peace in a special way in 1986 when I was diagnosed with heavy, sudden onset rheumatoid arthritis. when I talk about that kind of arthritis, the kind where I would have to take hold of my leg and lift it if I wanted to walk up a stair, where if I walked, I was dragging my leg behind me, where I couldn't pick up a cup of coffee. I didn't have that power in my hand anymore. And I went to be prayed over by a Franciscan. And, you know, the doctor tells you it's incurable. And by the grace of God, through the power of Jesus Christ and his blood, I was healed. So then we became eventually, from that, that was our crucial instance where, and eventually we got birthed Bridge for Peace.
How about you, Ed? How did you get into this? Did you just take along for the ride?
Well, certainly when, you know, someone in your family is stricken with an incurable disease, you know, you're participating with it. We're in it together. You know, it's our lives. It's not about Annette, you know, being, you know, stricken with arthritis and her having to deal with it independently. Certainly, we were looking for the best way to find a healing for Annette. And you know, we went through Western medicine, and the only answer was heavy pharmaceutical drugs to try to help Annette. And she did a lot of other things to try to help her situation. She went to diet and also exercise with the YMCA, and the only true answer was the blood of Jesus Christ that touched her and healed her.
Mm. And got you involved as
and
well.
And got me involved as well, too, mm-hmm. Certainly.
How about Father?
Well, the peace of Jesus comes to me by living in the Spirit. As I live in the Spirit, and I think it affects others as well, as they live in the Spirit, we come to live not for ourselves. We come to live for our Father. And that living for your Father is what brings me my peace. I'm living beyond myself. I'm not living really for myself. I'm living for my Heavenly Father. And in that new life, which is a new life in the Spirit, where you're living for your Father, just as Jesus lived for his Father, and it's our Father as well, I come into the deepest peace. And that's what brought me to the missionary life, to missionary service, to serve my Father wherever he sends me, however he wants me to serve him. That for me brings me the deepest peace. It's just to live in the Spirit, to serve my Father in the missions that he gives me.
Isn't that so wonderful? That our God, our Creator, is our Father, and we can look upon him as our Father and find peace in him. And peace in our brother Jesus, and we can just change to them at any moment. And the power of prayer, and the power of prayer is so powerful.
Yes. You know what amazes me is that the same Holy Spirit that is in me, it's the same Holy Spirit that was in the Blessed Mother, that was in Jesus, and is in each of us around this room, and has been in souls for generations since time began. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And that Spirit is that powerful. Tell us a little bit about your ministries. Stop, we'll stop at Bridge for Peace, and then we'll bounce back.
Well, our ministry, I guess, is not, we hope, our ministry, but Jesus' ministry that he led us into, to be servants. That's what we are. We're servants as he directs us, just as he directed you to start this radio program. You know, so we began just praying over people. I guess our first, what happened for us first is our watershed experience, I guess, was we were in Israel as pilgrims. And on the bus, there was a woman who had swollen up, wrapped up foot. Her husband and her son were helping her on the bus and off the bus every day. And what her situation was she had diabetes and she had an infection in the foot that they said was going into the bone. So there happened to be several doctors on that trip, and they were all saying she should go home because it was very serious. And it ended up that the pilgrimage was moving from one area to another, and they had to load all the luggage in the bus. And she was sitting in the back seat instead of being able to put her foot up across that bench seat on the back. Now they had luggage piled on either side of her. She had to put her foot on the luggage in the aisle, and Ed and I were in the seat right in front of them. So we were just looking at this wrapped up bandaged foot sitting right next to us now on the luggage, and we were looking at the foot and looking at each other, and finally we asked her if we could pray for her. And she was very happy for that, and we prayed for her foot to be healed. And the next morning she walked down unaided to breakfast, and her husband followed me saying, the foot is totally healed. So that was the way that the Lord really led us into Bridge for Peace ministry, which is a ministry of healing to the nations.
And you travel around the world, and you go to, and you pray with people wherever you go, because I know I've seen pictures of you in Africa and in Australia where you've had wonderful, wonderful healings take place.
Yeah, we've been blessed with an ability to travel, and the Lord has really blessed our prayers and recognized our prayers, and we're able to pray for folks, and the Lord touches them and heals them, and it's, you know, it's astonishing every time. But we serve a consistent God, and he honors our prayers, and we pray for folks, and we see them healed, and we thank God for that.
You know, you were both at a Saturday workshop that we did at St. Mary's in Manhasset. We had Father Isaac joining us, and Father Isaac had been prayed over you because he had trouble with his eye, and he got his vision back, or completely restored. And there was a woman in the crowd who was blind from birth in her left eye, or right eye, whatever, and you prayed over her, and before the day was out, she was reading the Bible.
That was amazing, just as you were sharing about the Spirit in all of us, because Father Isaac gave his testimony of having been blind in his left eye and having been prayed over and the eye being healed. And then the young woman was the first one on the healing line, and she said, I'm blind in my left eye just like Father was. And so it's just as you saw, it was the Holy Spirit that led Father to give the testimony that brought hope. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We want to bring hope to everyone who's listening. We're giving these testimonies that you would have hope to know that Jesus Christ is your bridge for peace, and no matter what. And we thank God for doctors, and we have doctors work in our ministry and endorse the things that the materials that we put out. So we thank God for doctors, and we love doctors. We don't want the wrong impression, and thank God for the healing work that they do and the power of the Spirit that flows through them as well. But we also want everyone to know that, that the divine physician is the one that all healing flows through, our divine physician. And whatever might have been said about incurable or degenerative or inoperable, to know that our divine physician is the healer, and he wants to do, as he always does, miracles in our lives. Every breath we draw is a miracle. How that oxygen gets to the blood and keeps you going, and your brain works, and we're walking miracles. And we want to really wake up to that, to know that there's so much that God has given to each one of us and put in our lives, and what a treasure each person is. You know, how valuable and precious each one is, and in that is another place where we find our peace.
And prayers are so powerful. Jesus is so receptive to our prayers, and all we need to do is to turn to him. He's asking for us. He's waiting there with his arms open to turn to him. And all we need to do is to go to him with our simple prayers.
Father, how about in your ministry? Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, the missionary life is really just a blessed, beautiful, privileged life. The first thing you learn as a missionary is it's not your mission. You know, very often the young missionary will come to the place, whether it's Mexico, Belize, Guatemala, wherever it is, and they'll think it's their mission, but very quickly they'll realize it's our Father's mission. That mission belongs to your Father. And you're kind of just tagging along and sharing in the miracles of his missionary work. And it's such a beautiful experience. I mean, every day in the missions we experience wonders and miracles, and it's almost like walking on water. All the blessings that you see. For example, I remember so many times, let's say in Guatemala, going out to Mayan villages. We would have to walk through the jungle through maybe 8 to 10 inches of mud for about 3 hours before we would get to the village. And maybe this village hasn't had mass in 6 months. Well, when you get there, the celebration, the rejoicing, the joy on the people's faces, you're bringing them the Eucharist, Holy Mass, confession, baptism, the anointing of the sick, matrimony. You're bringing the entire church, the whole of heaven is arriving with you and your little missionary team. And the rejoicing, the celebration, the joy is just so beautiful, so overwhelming. You see right then and there that everything that was put into this journey, this very often dangerous excursion, was well worth it. And that's really what the missionary life is like. It's just an experience of blessing.
I remember you told a story about not having the Eucharist, the bread available to be consecrated at Mass. I don't know if you remember that story.
Yes.
Can you tell it that way? It's really such a powerful thing.
Yes, I was checking out a mission, a potential mission for the community in Mexico, and the pastor asked me, Father Larry, could you go to this place tomorrow morning? It was Sunday morning, the next morning. So he gave me directions at this, for this village. It's called Huachichil. So in the morning I set out for the village, found the village, went into the church. Everybody was there. And I asked the sacristan, are we all set for Mass? She said, yes, Father, everybody's here. Did you bring the Mass kit, the host, the wine, the chalice, everything? I said, no, I didn't. The pastor didn't say anything about it. So I don't have anything except for some old vestments in my trunk. And they said, I said, well, I see a tabernacle there. Jesus is here. She said, well, yes, he's here. We have consecrated hosts, but we don't, we don't have anything else. So I started to ask the people. I went up front and said, does anyone have some kind of a cup we can use as a chalice? And someone did. Does anyone have the Misal Mensual, which is the monthly missal? Someone did. I said, well, we'll use that. Sacramentary, lectionary. Okay, we're almost there. Does anybody have some wine? Someone said, Father, I have some old wine. I think it's still good. Okay, we'll get that. What about hosts? So I called the sacristan over and said, do we have any hosts anywhere in this chapel? No, Father, no, there's nothing here. We don't even have Mass here except maybe once every 4 months. The hosts would go bad, so nothing's here. So I said, well, we're going to ask Jesus to send us a host. So I asked everyone to kneel down, and I knelt down in front of the altar. And I said, we're going to just pray in quiet and ask Jesus to give us a host. And I looked over my shoulder to see if everyone was with me. I thought maybe they were leaving. And everyone was there. And it was so beautiful. Even the smallest children were wrapped in prayer, totally deep in profound prayer. And I said, Lord, look at these beautiful people. They're not asking for medicine. They're not asking for new houses, all of which they need. They're asking for you. Lord, you cannot refuse these people. Please help them. So the sacristan came over to me and whispered, Father, how is the Lord going to give us a host? I said, well, I don't know, but that's his problem. He'll figure it out. And sure enough, so we're praying, and I'm praying, and this image of a scripture passage where Jesus is going into this town, and he has to pay a tax. And he tells the disciple, go back to the lake we just passed. You're going to catch a fish. You'll find a coin in his mouth, and that'll be the exact amount for the tax. And everything worked just that way. And I was saying, look at me, I'm falling asleep here, dreaming about different scripture passages. I'm supposed to be praying for the host. And then I realized, wait a minute, there's something in that passage that is the key to this whole problem. So I went over the passage, and I realized what Jesus was saying. So I called over the sacristan, and I said, in the sacristy, are there any books? She said, yes, there's one old book, Father. I said, okay, take that book, turn it upside down, and leaf through the pages. Well, now she thinks she has a crazy priest on board here. She's thinking, why does this priest want me to take the book and turn it upside down and move the pages? I said, no, please, just do it. It's all we have to go with here. It's an inspiration. So she went into the sacristy. She did as I asked her. Next thing we know, we hear her cry out, Padre, es un milagro. She said, Father, it's a miracle. A host came out of the book. We had the most wonderful, wonderful Mass. So much jubilation and rejoicing. And well, that was the Lord providing the bread of life for his people. People who probably the government doesn't even know these people exist there. But the Lord knows them.
And you know, as we're talking about evangelizers and some of the tough things that people have to do when they evangelize, we have saints who were evangelizers. And Tony, for the past several weeks, has been going through the apostles. And today he's going to talk about St. James and St. John. And so that as we put the music on in the background, Tony, we have the stage all set. It's all yours.
Dr. Palmer, this week it's a twofer. St. James and St. John, the apostles. St. James is the older brother of John, the apostle, and a native of Galilee. Both were fishermen. when called by Jesus to follow him as they were mending their nets, with their father Zebedee. All the Gospels list James and John as among the first four apostles. We already met the other two, brothers St. Peter and St. Andrew. John is also known as the evangelist, and is the youngest of the apostles. James was called the greater. Jesus named both brothers the sons of thunder. They were with Jesus when he cured Peter's mother-in-law at the house of Peter and Andrew. James and John also asked Jesus if they could sit by his side in this moment of glory. Brought him that they could drink the cup that Jesus asked for. Jesus said, "Do you know what you are asking for? It is not mine to give." James and John was with Peter at the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead, and the three of them were the only apostles at the transfiguration and the agony in the garden. John was the only apostle at the crucifixion. He became the beloved disciple and the only one of the 12 who did not forsake our Savior in the hour of passion. He stood faithfully at the cross. Hence, the Savior made him the guardian of his mother, our Blessed Mother Mary. John immediately escaped martyrdom and emerged unscratched from the possible death of Berwyn and Earl, and was excelled when he wrote Revelations. He's also credited with writing other parts of the New Testament books. He's also surnamed the Divine because of theological brilliance, and is represented in art as an eagle for the soaring majesty of his Gospels. James was the first apostle to be martyred when he was beheaded in Jerusalem by Herod. James is the patron saint of Spain and is the patron of the laborers. His feast day is July 25th. St. John lived to an extreme old age, surviving all his fellow apostles, and died about the year 100. He was the only apostle not to be martyred. Thus, Peter, James, and John were clearly one of Jesus' closest friends during his ministry. Thus, James and John were not great, powerful people when chosen by Jesus, merely simple fishermen. Again, Jesus demonstrates his faith in the everyday, simple, hardworking people, avoiding the rich and powerful to become his evangelist and his faithful followers. This is reflected in Sunday's Gospel, when the devil faced Jesus with three familiar temptations to use his power to be materially secure, physically safe, and politically successful. Wealth, comfort, and political power are the motives that drive civilization. There were humanistic desires, and Jesus also had a human demeanor, but he rejected them in each and every way. He opted for another kind of power, far greater and more mysterious than the devil offered. It is the power of simplicity, love, and obedience to his Father, our Creator. This is the power that will bring us closer to Jesus and our Father. Jesus showed us the way for Lent. Let's follow him on this Lenten journey, as his apostles followed him during his journey. Amen. I mean, thank you, Tony. Thank you for St. John and St. James. You know, when you think about the apostles, I don't really know too much about them. I just know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote books. At least I think they did. Mm-hmm. And we read them, and they have wonderful lessons in them. And I'm also told that they all have different personalities, and therefore they can touch anybody in the world. And they certainly touch me. But you know how bad I am, Tony? When I was first prayed over for baptism in the Spirit and received the Spirit, I heard all these beautiful songs. They were wonderful songs, and the words were beautiful. And I found out later they were all from Scripture. That shows how bad I was. I didn't know anything about Scripture. I was a real good Catholic. We don't know much about Scripture. We do now. But the amazing thing is that, to me anyway, Jesus didn't opt for the powerful, for the rich. He opted for the simple people like us. So simple, so humble, so loving.
And we're not too smart either.
No.
So that is. How about you guys? How does the scripture affect you? How does the scripture affect you in your life?
Well, I find it to be as a living word. And one of the words that I love in thinking of Isaiah, when the Lord says, comfort ye my people. And just as Father says, you know, the missionary journey is that journey of service. It's getting to go along for the ride. You know, I remember when we were going to Kenya, one of our team members, because Bridge for Peace travels in teams, said, woke up one morning and said, I feel wonderfully insignificant, you know, wonderfully ineffective, you know, wonderfully inadequate.
That's so
and, it's wonderful, you know, because they just talk about power. The world says you've got to be adequate, you've got to be up to it, you've got to be on your game, you've got to be ahead of it. But what peace it is to know that we're not, you know, we're wonderfully inadequate because don't forget the wonderful word, wonderfully inadequate because of the wonder of the God who is more than adequate within us.
And that scripture.
And that scripture
leads you into that. And how about you?
Well, I just think, you know, when we started out with ministry, you know, we're just, you know, two simple people that were living in a little town on Long Island. You know, we didn't have a big background in theology, and we went to and attended church. We were we would go as often as we can. We helped out in the parish, you know, with St. Vincent de Paul, and I was a photographer on the newsletter, and we did all we could to participate in the parish. And you know, I just feel like you know, being available and trying to take the opportunity to be an assistant in the parish, you know, not to look at the things that need done, but to go in there and take care of some of the things that need done.
And you know what, I'm sure that this drives you as well. He that is within me is greater than he that is in the world. I heard that come up so many times in my prayer life. And that I know that anything we do, Tony and I doing this show, we don't know what we're doing, but it's he that is within us, is leading us, and it's more powerful than anything else in the world. Right?
Father, how about you?
Well, scripture, you should be an expert.
Well, yeah, I guess so, but I love scripture. I mean, it's life, it's food for the journey, it's guidance, it's light. It's what we share as missionaries. We share the word of God with the poor, with, as Tony was saying, the lowly, the humble ones, the marginalized. We see our Father reaching out to them with his holy word, with his inspiration. He feeds the people with his word. Human beings need the word of God. They live on it like a plant lives with water and with sun. Human beings, they have to hear their Father. They have to hear about his love, about his life, about his promise, about his healing, and how he cares for us, how he watches over us. And all of that is in the Word of God. And so we bring it to them. He sends us to them. We share it with them. And then they grow and they live and they're healed and they blossom and they rejoice in his Word.
I heard along the way that the Old Testament is the prophetic word of what is to be. And the New Testament is the fulfillment of that word. I didn't know that. I never even thought of that. There's so many things you hear about Scripture that just touch you and say, wow, this Bible is really alive. You know what I heard the definition of the Bible was? Basic information before leaving Earth. And I love that. I love that because, and it's alive. The words are listening. Did anyone here ever play Bible roulette? You know what Bible roulette is?
I play it.
Okay, tell them.
I open up to a page, I read the readings, and I try to get a message from Jesus and Heavenly Father, or a confirmation. And I pray and I ask Jesus for something. I learned from my Uncle John, ask for a confirmation. So I do. And I open the Bible and I get the confirmation.
I went on a Cursilio weekend, and they give you again, it's built around scripture, and they said, when you leave here, God is going to teach you through scripture about what he wants you to learn. And I said, yeah. And during the weekend, they gave me these holy cards, and I kept putting them in randomly.
And so I said, all right. So I went home and I said, all right, you're going to teach me through scripture. Let's see what you're going to do. And I followed the bookmarks. And I got such a lesson on pride and learning to be humble and listening to me. And I said, this thing is for real. This thing is really for real. And it's alive. It was always been in my living room, but I never opened it. It's really something.
Certainly scripture, you know, when we attend daily mass and we have the scriptures that are available during the daily mass, certainly they have give us opportunity to look further into the scripture. And oftentimes there'll be a reference from one of the scriptures in your Bible that'll lead you to another scripture. And that may be the message for the day for you, you know. And it behooves us to keep our nose in that Bible, right?
So today we're challenging our listeners. We have a scripture challenge for you. We want you to open the Bible now, or maybe even a little later if you don't happen to have a Bible. We don't want you running and falling down in the house. But open the scripture at least once a day. Open the Bible at least once a day for the next 7 days. And let God teach you what he wants to teach you. I don't care if you're Catholic, Protestant, or Hindu, or whatever. Find the Bible, open it randomly, and write down the scripture that he brings to your attention. And next week, if this were a class, I'd give you a quiz. And I'd like to, but I don't have to give you the quiz. Let the Holy Spirit give you a quiz.
You know, it's funny you say that, Dr. Palmer, because we do have a listener that does that. And I got one yesterday, but you know what? I was going to read it. Do you mind if I hold it to next week?
Sure.
When we discuss it?
Sure.
And it's quite interesting. He did open the Bible. He did give some scriptures related to the program. So next week, you got something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask Bridge for Peace. What's on your agenda right away? What's coming up? Some things that you're doing. I know you go to Rome and pray for priests. I know you go all over the world. What are some of the things you're going to be doing?
Well, we're just back from Rome, actually. And the next thing we'll be doing is going out to Cincinnati and Kentucky. We have a Bridge for Peace out in Cincinnati, so we'll be ministering in the city of Cincinnati, and then we'll be going down to Kentucky, and we're involved with folks who have a retreat house down there, and also with some two young men. One was a teacher, and he just starts to take in orphans, you'd say, even of any kind of age, you know, even, say, not necessarily under 18, but young men, perhaps older than that, who were in need of guidance and in need of love. And eventually he left his teaching position. He has children of his own, but his wife was in agreement, and they started a house there to help young men. So we're involved with them, so we'll be visiting with them to encourage them as well. And then in May, we'll be off to Uganda. It'll be our third trip there. We have we've been sending orphan children to school in Uganda as part of our ministry, and also we've been educating some higher education as well. And now we have an advisory board there, and we're looking forward to the Lord doing great things that we could be a part of in Uganda. So we'll be taking a team. Part of our team's from Australia. We have three people coming from Australia to meet us in Uganda, and also from America. So we that's our thing now, because Bridge for Peace, because the Lord's just bringing it up all over. Last team was in South America. We had one from Africa, a couple from Australia, a couple from New York, and one from Cincinnati going off to minister in South America. So
certainly blessed. And I know, Ed, you're the publicity man. How would they get your newsletters via email?
Well, I can pick it up on our website. As a matter of fact, we're just in the process of refreshing our website, and we're planning to have to publish it this month, a new website. So if they check out www.bridgeforpeace.org, you're going to see a beautiful website. We have some video from some of the healings, that healing that you time that you mentioned. We have one of our friends called Harry that was healed at that same event of prostate cancer. So, and he'll be on there. Two of the folks from Australia are on that site, and one of them is going to be coming to visit us for a month.
You know, when I think about all these websites, could you imagine if people went down the street and they had tattooed on their head www.
you guys. It's not all about that. Wouldn't that be fun? You know,
we wouldn't need Facebook or Facebook or whatever else we call it.
We just look at each other. Oh, you're W. I know you.
Father, how about you? What do you have on your agenda? I know you're here for a reason. But...
Well, actually, I'm kind of shifting gears right now. I have a book in the process, actually. It's at the printer right now. It's a book about prayer. It's a prayer that I developed about 25 years ago, actually, and have been praying for 25 years on my own, but I haven't been inspired by the Spirit to share it up until just maybe 6 months ago. So I put it into a book form, and it's called The Prayer of Jesus Crucified. Mm-hmm. And it's a prayer that you can pray. It's a wordless prayer, really. It's an introduction to quiet prayer, kind of like a modern introduction to quiet prayer. So we'll see how that kind of works out. It's a missionary effort in prayer, you could say.
When will that be out, Father?
Probably in a few weeks. It'll be at Sarah's store, at the Advent Religious Goods Stores.
Sarah's a good friend of ours.
Yes.
We'll get a copy.
Thank you.
You know, when you talk about quiet prayer, I got a word, if you want, back in 2003, and I was wondering, why did I get this for today? I don't understand. And it's an instrument of my quiet peace. And it's telling people how to get into the quiet and meet God. I'm going to read it, whether you like it or not. I'm going to read it. I'm the boss, the executive director.
You're the executive director.
Quiet time is my true presence. It's my special gift to you. I draw you into the depths of you. I bring you to my true presence in me. I dwell in you always. I am reached silently. I am uncovered quietly. I am Jesus the Messiah. I dwell always in you. I bring you to me. I draw you through my veil of silence. I quiet your spirit. I silence your mind. I still the waters of your soul. I allow my light to rise up in you. I rise up out of the depth of you. I surface from the silence of you. I come to you silently. I remove all human distractions. I'm here, my friend. I dwell always in your essence. I let you touch my true presence through my spirit. Silence in you is reverence for me. It speaks the language of faith. It uncovers pieces of me in you. It enables you to know my love. You experience love that's true, and you uncover me at the core of you. Adoration is my door opener to my love. Adoration enables you to be free. Adoration cleanses. Adoration points the way to me in you. Be free in the quiet of my love. Float silently in my tranquility. Know that my love lives in you. Be aware that silence and adoration enables you to experience my love more fully than ever before. I've made my point gently. I touch you once again silently. I free you to be with me gracefully. I open paradise in you gently. I'm a quiet lover. I simply require you to be quiet too. I then rise up in you. I allow my love in you to touch you. I transform you by my touch. I love you oh so much. Enjoy my love touch. Let it flow through you. Let it flow out of you. Remember, love isn't true love until you just give it away with no strings attached to those in need. Then, and only then, and you be me for others in need, then, and only then, are you truly an instrument for my quiet peace. That's how God is speaking in my heart to those hearts that are listening. We're asking the Spirit to go out over these airways to all those who listen. Learn to be quiet. Learn to be open to His love. Learn to be touched by His love. Know that He's present in you right now. We played song with words in the background, but that doesn't make any difference. He's there, waiting to touch you.
Uncle Johnny, that was beautiful.
I wish I could say it was from me. We just thank the good Lord and His presence and the prayers that He gives in our hearts. People ask me, you know, that really from God? I said, I don't claim anything. I don't claim anything. That's between you and the Holy Spirit to discern what's from me and what's from God. He told me once, I said, how do I know what's from me and what's from you, God? He said, chocolate milk. And I said, chocolate milk? What are you talking about? He said, you have a glass of milk and chocolate powder. And you mix the powder in and you can't see where one ends and the other begins. And that's true with anything I share in you. And so that I don't make any claims. We just ask people to discern for themselves. You got a good head on your shoulders, use it.
Thank you, Ed, John. That really was beautiful.
And we're going to go into the healing part of our show. I know I took over with that reading a little longer than I expected. Father, you were going to say something?
Solanus?
Yes, that's what we're going to do, Solanus. We had Solanus Casey scheduled to be the healer of the day for 3 or 4 shows, and I never got to it. And I couldn't, and even today, I didn't even want to do Solanus Casey. I said, I'm tired of trying to, I've read his stuff enough. So I come in today and I tell Father we're going to have Solanus. Tell us about Solanus and your order.
Well, Solanus is very connected to the Society of Our Lady, the Most Holy Trinity, because our founder was very devoted to the mystical city of God. It's a beautiful book about Mary's spirituality, actually, our mother's spirituality, written by Venerable Mary of Agreda. Well, Solanus also had a huge devotion to the mystical city of God. And so our founder went to see Solanus just before he died, not knowing, of course, that he was going to die. And he told him about the Society of Our Lady and how we take a great part of our spirituality from the spirituality that's in the mystical city of God. And Solanus was so rejoiced, he said something to the effect, "Now, Lord, you can let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled." And so we consider him a patron saint, really, of Our Lady Society.
Isn't that amazing? I can't believe that that's why we were delayed until today.
3 weeks. Yeah. 3 weeks.
Trevor, can we get the next song? Yeah. You know, when you talk about people praying for healing, you people pray for healing. We all do. And we don't know what happens. So my wife, when she wrote her book on God Did It, she said, how did Solanus pray for healing? He just simply chatted. And he would say, listening to visitors, he'd keep his eyes closed or look into space. And after quiet discernment, he would look back into the eyes of the one in front of him, ask a few questions, pray, and then suggest the person thank God for past blessings and or for those to be received in the future. And he would always urge more frequent use of the sacraments and then suggest joining the Capuchin Seraphic Mass Association. He had moved around. He was a priest who wasn't allowed to preach and wasn't allowed to hear confession because they considered him not very smart. I can relate to him, not very smart. But he ended up being the doorkeeper wherever he went. And people would come and leave petitions. And he put them in his little book, yellow book, and he'd list all the healings. All the prayers, and then later on he lists the healings, and he had wonderful healings. He believed that you have to put God on the spot, and if you're going to pray for healing, you got to do it boldly, and you speak it. And I'm afraid to do that when I pray for people for healing, but I'm learning. God likes people to put him on the spot, and that's what Solanus did. And he prayed a lot before he prayed over people. He was in the chapel almost 24 hours a day many times. Father Breschel said that he would go into the chapel and see Father there in ecstasy in prayer, just praying and asking God for whatever God wanted to do. He has tons of healings in his yellow book, his yellow notebook. A woman had a dead bone in her ear, and he prayed over it and it came back to life. Another man had stomach cancer and he prayed and it was gone. A young child was blind in one eye, had double vision in the other, and he prayed and the vision came back. Another man worked for Chevrolet and they were really on hard times, sounds like today. And Father prayed that Chevrolet get work, and they got an order over the next 2 days for 45,000 new cars, and everybody was put to work. There are just so many people who have been healed by his presence. He would never give sermons. And when he gave a sermon, all he did was read from his book of healings. People have been healed. He has a seraphic healing service. They're in the prayer group circle, I guess it's called. And what they do is that they would just simply come and place their petitions there. Many people walked away healed. And he was also across religions. There was a Jewish rabbi. People said, you know, does he only pray for Catholics? A Jewish rabbi went on with a cane and came away without his cane. A Protestant minister came with his son who was so ill, and the son was healed. So, you know, and he would make a point. He's not the healer. Jesus is the healer. God's the healer. And that he knows just how and what to touch in each person. So, Father, I'm so happy that he's a saint, almost a holy saint in your order. Mm-hmm. Do you pray for healings, Father?
Yes. You mean personally?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Sure.
I love what you do at a healing service. Can you tell people what you do? It's just remarkable.
Magnificent. With the monsters?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Well, I just came back from Del Rio, Texas, which is right on the border of Mexico. And we anointed for healing with the monstrance, with Jesus himself, about 1,000 people over a course of 2 nights. It took maybe 3 hours the first night, about 4 hours the next night. And the Lord was very busy healing his people, very generous, very wonderful, very loving, and just healing people everywhere in that way. He just touches them.
And you know, I had the honor and the pleasure and the blessing of you praying over me with the monster, and I have to tell you, I felt the Holy Spirit from that monster hit me on the head.
Praise God. And from my Irish background, I was very nervous when you did that because I thought you were going to hit me over the head with the monster. And maybe that's the only way I'm really going to heal it. I don't know. We pray, but just for you to know, we pray for people at the end of the show for healings, and I want to personally put into the hearts of everyone listening, Liz with Chiari disease. She had her surgery and she's home. Surgery was successful, but she still has dizzy spells and she still has tachycardia. So today, as we pray over these petitions before us, we're going to pray for Liz and so many other petitions.
And baby David, who's going to be celebrating his birthday and has been suffering from cancer, and we pray for him constantly. And,
so if you just put your hands either in the air, and those at home, lift your hands up to God and ask for his help to come into the petitions that we have here. And everyone around the table, please speak whatever comes into your heart. You all have word gifts. Jesus, we ask you, blessed Jesus, come Holy Spirit. Touch the hearts, the souls, and the minds of everyone who listens. Bless and change their hearts, Lord. Take care of their needs. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Servants of the Most High God, we do now, Lord, what you command us to do, Lord. We release the power of your Holy Spirit. We release your miracle-working power. We thank you, Lord, that you say, Lord, that we would lay hands on the sick and they would recover, and this way you would receive the glory. So, Father, our prayer today is we release your power, Lord, as your servant, is that each one whose names and petitions are on this table and each one who's listening, Lord, would today receive from you that which brings you glory, Lord. We know, Lord, that the greatest healing is salvation. So we pray, Lord, for all those who have not yet known your name as Lord and has not yet known the wonderful life that comes from the cross. So we pray for them today, Lord. And we pray also, Lord, for each one who has a need. And we thank you, Lord, that your word says that the prayers of the righteous, not made righteous by ourselves, but made righteous by you, Jesus Christ. You say that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And in your name, Lord, we believe your power and your effect, Lord, on the physical body, on the mind. We cancel every spirit of depression in your name, Lord God, and we release health, Lord, and peace, Lord God, and stability for your glory, Lord, and for your honor. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be.
Create me the image of a child who's going to undergo surgery today. I don't know this child, but he tells me to tell the child, but also the parents, be not afraid. I will work a miracle. I will heal your child. Surgery, medicine, all work with me. Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise consolation over those who mourn for a lost loved one, that the Lord is with them and by their side and present to them. And we speak a turnaround to life situations where those who have found themselves jobless. We speak new jobs that will honor God and take care of the family. And we thank you for that, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, stay by each side of those in particular. You hold their hands and guide them. And you let them know that you are truly their best friend. And so we ask this, Jesus, in the name of your Father,
I'm breaking the curse of alcoholism and drug addiction in the hearts of many people who are addicted, who are listening to this show. I am entering into your addiction and making it repellent to you. And you will be freed. You will be set free. Just ask, and I will set you free from addiction.
Praise you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we grow not weary in well-doing. For in due season we will reap a harvest if we faint not. Thank you, Lord, for perseverance in prayer, Lord God. Thank you for seeking, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all those that are weary today, Lord, that you'd raise them up on eagle's wings, Lord God, as they wait upon you in faith to see manifested those things in the promises of your word.
And Lord, we know we're on short time because we're running to the end of our show. And we're coming there now. So, Lord, if you're going to heal, hurry up. Hurry up. Take the healing and make it happen right now. And everyone at home, stand and sing with Don Marwin. Arise in God's love. Arise. See you next week, everybody.
Clap your hands.
Internacional de Iglesias Evangélicas, Apóstoles y Profetas, Efesios 2:20, bajo la dirección del Movimiento Evangelístico, presenta su programa radial, Cristo, la Respuesta. Este programa tiene como